Well, it's good to be back with you as we turn our attention this morning to the study of the Lord's Prayer. We began this about 6 weeks ago. Lord willing, we're going to complete this study by the end of May. Let's begin by reading from Matthew 6, beginning with verse 9. Pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we looked several weeks ago as we began at the preface to the Lord's prayers. We considered the words, Our Father in heaven. We talked about what that meant and how we should, first of all, it's a good pattern of prayer as we begin not with us and our needs and our supplications, but we begin with the Lord and who He is. Then we turned our attention to the petitions. We considered, first of all, the first two petitions, Hallowed be your name and your kingdom come. And we saw the importance of God's name being reverenced, His name being held in high esteem, and praying for God's kingdom from heaven to come on earth, that it would be more and more recognized throughout the world. Well, today we're going to give attention to the third and final petition of the Lord's Prayer, found at the end of verse 10, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Again, I'm using several different sources for this study. The one I relied upon a little bit more heavily this week was Terry Johnson's book, When Grace Comes Alive, which I felt like he just did a great exposition. It was a helpful study on this particular petition. But let me just ask the question. When you think of the words, the Lord's will, what comes to mind? Wait and see what happens, okay? What was that? Providence? God's law, okay? Sovereignty? I didn't hear that. Okay, the gathering of His elect. So all of these are part of God's will and what people think of when they hear God's will. If we look at Scripture, we see that there's really two different, clear, and distinct meanings for God's will. And so I've got this on your handout today, but today we want to do three things. One is discuss the two meanings of God's will described in Scripture. Secondly, discuss which of these two meanings applies directly to our passage today in the Lord's Prayer. And then thirdly, conclude with practical application. Well, first, God's will at times designates His preceptive will, or we could also say His will of command. His preceptive will or His will of command. This will has to do with God's law, His commandments, His precepts, if you will, that He issues to the creation to follow. Of course, part of this and examples of this include the Ten Commandments, but it's not limited to those. There are many examples in Scriptures that have in mind this use of the word for God's will. Let's look at a few of those. Jesus says, For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother, Matthew 12:50. So we see the will of the Father could only mean, in this particular case, God's revealed or ordained will. We also read in Psalm 40, verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God, thy law is within my heart. In this regard, we see, as already been mentioned, God's law. We see that God's law and God's will have equal meaning. Many people will ask, and perhaps you have asked from time to time, what is God's will for me? This is probably the question pastors get the most. And of course, many pastors will point to 1 Thessalonians 4:3 in Scripture to answer this question. For this is the will of God, your what? Sanctification. So in this regard, we see the example of the use God's will. We take it to mean that He has commanded it. He commands that we be sanctified, that we be further sanctified, that we grow in holiness, but it also is part of what He desires for you and for me to walk in His ways, to walk in His commands, to grow in holiness. So we see the first use of God's will refers to His precepts, His commands. But the second use of God's will refers to His sovereign will or His will of decree. His sovereign will, or we could say His will of decree. In this way, we see that God's will, that is, His decrees and plans, will ultimately come to pass. Terry Johnson writes, one example of this is in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus prays one way but acknowledges another will which the Father may have planned. And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as thou wilt. Matthew 26:39. Johnson goes on to write, It was certainly not the will of God in a preceptive sense that wicked men should crucify the Lord of glory. What does he mean by that? Well, he didn't command the men to crucify Jesus. He didn't command that they do that, but it was part of his sovereign will, his decretive will, that Jesus would go through that he would ultimately die a death, be buried, ascend to heaven, fitting times that we talk about this today after Easter last week. That was part of his sovereign and decretive will. We see also that Paul wants to visit the Romans, but realizes it may not be God's will. We read this in Romans 1:9-10. For God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you, always in my prayers making request, if perhaps now at last by the will of God I may succeed in coming to you. What's the point of that in regards to God's will? Well, he realizes that it's not his will or his desire, but it is God's will, right? Thus, he will submit to the Lord's decretive or sovereign will. Of course, one familiar passage regarding this use of God's will is found in James 4:15. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that. So in speaking of tomorrow or any day in the future, it's good to say, if the Lord wills it. Paul used this phrase with the Jews who wanted him to stay longer in Ephesus in Acts 18:21. But on taking leave of them, he said, I will return to you if God wills. And he set sail from Ephesus. He's saying to them, hey, it's not my will, it's rather the will of my Father that will determine whether or not I will come back to you. Now, to be sure, we don't have to say, if the Lord wills it, or Lord willing, every time. However, it is good to think about it, and it gives us the context for why it is good to keep in mind this language in referring to God's will. Matthew Henry says, our times are not in our own hands, but at the disposal of God. We live as long as God appoints, and in the circumstances God appoints, and therefore must be submissive to Him, even as to life itself. And he goes on to say, listen to this, that all we do should be in submissive dependence upon God. Isn't that important? All we do as Christians, oh, would we as Christians just submit totally and in utter dependence upon a holy and sovereign God. So we've understood the two meanings of God's will. The question now becomes, how do these two relate to one another? There is a sense in which both meanings can apply and are spoken of in Scripture. We see this, for example, in the Great Commission, which is a command, or we could say part of God's preceptive will. However, when we obey the Great Commission, we are fulfilling His decreed or sovereign will. Now, there's also a sense in which the two different meanings of God's will can seem to, and I use the word seem strongly here, can seem to conflict with one another or contradict one another. I use the word seem because we know God doesn't contradict Himself. But as we look at, for example, Acts 4:27-28, for truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. Again, Terry Johnson is helpful here. He says, at the cross, what God commands, that we don't murder, that we do justice, that we honor His Son, came into direct conflict with what He had predestined to occur. That His Savior would come and, yes, be humiliated and even judicially murdered and mocked and blasphemed. We see in Scripture, however, as we saw in our last study on warfare from Satan, we see that the evil one has been defeated. And so ultimately what happens is we see that what God commands, His preceptive will, becomes one with his decretive or sovereign will. So which of the two meanings of God's will is spoken of in Matthew 6:10, which reads, again, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Well, it's a bit of a trick question, for the answer is both. Really speaks to both meanings of God's will in this particular passage. Let's conclude with some practical applications that will take this a bit further. First, we are praying that the preceptive will of God, again, that's the will of command, will be obeyed. This applies to us individually as we seek to love God's law, as we delight in it, as we hide it in our hearts and we seek to live it out. Here's the question. Do we see God's law, what he commands, as a burden or as a blessing? You see many in the broad evangelical world now that say, oh, the Old Testament or even the Ten Commandments, that's Old Testament stuff, right? The commands of the Lord are Old Testament. They have no relevance for the Christian today. And what is our answer for that? No, we are to obey the Word of God, right? And it's why we even make a point in our worship services every Lord's Day to go through the commandments as a reminder of who God is and who he's called us to be and how we're unworthy to be his children. Listen to this from 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. It's a blessing indeed to our lives, but also to the lives of others when we live out the gospel in such a way as to honor the Lord's command. So we're praying in this part of the Lord's Prayer that we would live according to God's word, that we would do God's will in our marriages, in our homes, in our workplaces, in the church, indeed wherever we go. J.C. Ryle writes helpfully, we pray that God's law may be obeyed by men as perfectly, readily, and unceasingly as they are by angels in heaven. Well, secondly, by way of application, we're praying that God's decretive or sovereign will be accepted in our lives and the lives of others. We touched on earlier that to pray this particular prayer is to submit our will to God's will. Now, this particular part of application is a bit more difficult for most of us because we have to admit that he knows better than us. It's particularly palpable when we have lost a loved one that we wanted to spend more time with here on earth. Or perhaps when your company downsized and you were forced out of a job, or maybe you lost a job, or maybe your family has been riddled with sickness or one healthcare crisis after another. And many people will ask in the face of tragedy, why did God allow that good person to suffer? And of course, our answer to that is we don't deserve any good from God. His goodness is a mercy and a gift that is not deserved. And yet, this can be difficult when tragedy strikes. We must remember that the Lord always has a plan. His ways are higher than our ways, and to understand everything this side of eternity would in fact to be God and not created man. But we can trust, can't we? We can trust the inner workings of every second of every day to a God that holds the universe simply with his voice. So to pray for the Lord's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven requires us to have meekness, humility, faith, and trust. As I was writing this and going through this and studying this week, it reminded me of a German hymn that was written, Whatever My God Ordains Is Right. It was written by Samuel Rodegast. Here's just the first stanza. Whatever my God ordains is right, his holy will abideth. I will be still whate'er he doth and follow where he guideth. He is my God. Though dark my road, he holds me that I shall not fall. Wherefore to him I leave it all. It was said that he wrote this to a friend who was really struggling with sickness, and he wanted it to be a source of encouragement to this friend. Realize that our God is sovereign. He's full of love and compassion, and every circumstance he brings us through is good and right and true. His promise is that he will never leave us in the midst of any adversity through which he takes us. Well, thirdly, by way of application, what it means to pray the Lord's will. We are praying for the will of God, both the preceptive will of God and the decretive will of God, to be fully accomplished, to be fully accomplished. And we know this won't happen completely until the Lord returns, but we pray that the Lord's will would be heeded more and more in our own lives and in the lives of others, that people would be drawn to Him in saving faith and would seek to keep His commands. Well, the Shorter Catechism summarizes this lesson well. It says, in the third petition, which is, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we pray that God, by His grace, would make us able and willing to know, obey, and submit to His will in all things as the angels do in heaven. Matthew Henry, in his commentary, the last part of his writing on the third petition, says this: "We pray that earth may be made more like heaven by the observance of God's will. This earth, which through the prevalency of Satan's will has become so near akin to hell, and that saints," listen to this, "that saints may be more like the holy angels and their devotion and obedience." May that be true in your life and in mine. Let's pray. Oh God, we do thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit, who helps guide us in understanding Your Word. And we thank You, Lord, for Your preceptive will, for those commands that You've given us to do. We recognize that even as children of the Most High, we still need help to do that. We need the help of Your Holy Spirit to obey Your law and to obey Your commands. We pray for that. And yet, Father, too, we ultimately submit our own will to Your decretive and sovereign will, the will that governs all things. And so help us to live in light of that, Father, even this week. Help us to submit our own desires, our own will to You. Help us to depend upon You. And we pray, Lord, that Your will would be lived out in our lives as we go forward this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.